Gemara tells us in Bukharas a very strange episode that occurred. Students of Rabbi Yehoshua were asking him the following question. Isile Trei Bei. They brought in front of Rabbi Yehoshua two eggs. Amrule, they posed to him, Hey Dezagta Ukmisi, the Hey Dezagta Chiyurti. Which of these came from a white hen, and which of these came from a black hen? That was the question they posed. In response to this, what seems like a ridiculous question, he responded by saying he brought two types of cheeses in front of them, and he said, which of these came from a black goat and which of these came from a white goat? Seems like a very inconsequential, immaterial discussion, but yet the Gemara includes it. Yet somehow this seems to be relevant to us, or otherwise it would not be included. What does this mean? The Marashah tells us a very interesting biological fact, and that is, how long does it take for the egg of a chicken to gestate? From beginning to finish, how long does it take for the production of a chicken egg? Every bird has a different length of gestation. How long does it take for chickens? You can Google this right now, it's the same around the world, and that is 21 days. 21 days it takes for an egg of a chicken to reach maturity. The Marashah therefore says, the Gemara is asking, which cycle of growth represented in 21 days comes from a black hen and which comes from a white hen? Well, 21 days. 21 days. Where do we find 21 days in the calendar? So one should be pretty obvious to us because we're just at the capstone of that. The 3 weeks that we've just encompassed, 3 times 7, ostensibly, is 21 days. But where is the other 21 days? What is the other 21-day cycle in the Jewish calendar? The answer is, we're about to have it in 2 months' time, from Rosh Hashanah to Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah is the 21st of Tishrei. The Yemei HaDin is a 21-day period as well. The question that was posed to Rabbi Yehoshua was a very simple question. Which of these two sets of 21 days, if you look at them, you look at the result of the growth throughout them, can you identify the mother, where they came from? What does that mean precisely? Well, there's two different ways that a person can change in this world. One way that a person can change is they prophylactically, proactively decide they're going to seek help. They look at themselves in the mirror, they ask friends, they ask teachers, and they say, let me try to change, let me be a better person. That's what we'll call the model of Yemei HaDin. There's no acute agony, there's no problem, there's no crisis at hand. But right now, I'm going to look inside, I'm going to try to fix myself. And through that process, I will gestate myself. I will grow myself to a process of coming out the other end as a changed person. But then sometimes that doesn't work. And for most people, they don't take a proactive, preventative role in their life. And rather, they need an intervention. Intervention is when I didn't do that. And there's another way that a person grows, another 21-day cycle of growth. But that comes from a black hand. That comes, unfortunately, when we sail down the river of life, going with the current until we hit something. And when we hit something, and lo aleinu, whatever form of suffering that may be that we hit, we also grow through that as well. Whether it's proactively or reactively. And the question they were asking him is, when you look at the end, how do you know which one is more profound? Which one is the one that a person would grow or change most actively from? And he says it's like the two Se'irim. Where do we have two Se'irim? On Yom Kippur, where you make a choice between, are you going to the Kodesh HaKadoshim with a little bit of sacrifice, or you're going out without sacrifice and ultimately fall off the edge of the desert? That was the question. You know, it reminds me, there's an apocryphal story told about Alexander the Great, that he sent a letter to his mother. You know, those who live by the sword don't usually die in nursing homes. And so he sent a letter to his mother, when I die in battle, which was the case, he died very young, he said to his mother, I want you to, upon hearing news of my death, I would like you to call a party for all the people to commemorate my passing. But the only people invited to this party are the people who never experienced a day of suffering in their lives. So she sends out the mess, and you know, you can imagine at the bottom of it says black tie event, please meet in the Pantheon, wherever it is. And then she says, only for people who never experienced a day of suffering. Guess what? Nobody showed up except the caterer. And so essentially what she was saying, or essentially the message Alexander the Great was saying, is that we all suffer. We all go through something enough, unfortunately. Letzarenu. We don't choose it, but unfortunately it comes upon us. Reminds me of the story that goes out about a fellow who reaches Me'a Ve'Esrim, end of the string, and he gets to the next dimension, and he's walking along the pathway where it's a dark tunnel, light at the end of the tunnel, and he's walking along and he sees the light. And so as he's going, he hears this immense rumble from behind him, and he turns around and he sees that there's these large black 18-wheeler trucks coming right behind him, as far as the eye can see in the tunnel. So he flags down the first one and he says, "Excuse me, what are you carrying? Where are you going?" And they say, "Oh, we're delivering your Averois, everything you committed in your life." So he says, "Well, can I catch a ride? We're probably going the same direction." And they said, "Sorry, it's just mostly the passenger seat's full, the back, there's not so much space here." So he lets them keep going, and each one, they're all full. Keeps on going, and he loses count, and as he loses count, he loses hope as well. Then he carries on walking that whole procession passes him, and he hears a little puttering in the background. He turns around, there's like a little VW Beetle, like a white VW Beetle. And he flags it down, and he says, "What are you doing?" He says, "We're carrying your mitzvahs." So he says, "Any space to go out and catch a ride?" I say, "Oh yeah, sure, plenty of space. There's just a little shoebox on the back seat there." So he gets in and he comes along, and there's a very large scales at the auditorium that he comes to. And in the meantime, all the folks from those black 18-wheelers have loaded up all these very large, heavy-looking black boxes on the one side of the scales. And the other side of the scale, there's the fellow from the VW, chucks the shoebox on the other side. You can imagine what a difference that must have made. And the fellow's looking very desperate at this point until he starts hearing rumbling again. And he hears now the rumbling, and he sees emerging out of the tunnel that he just came, large 18-wheelers, but they're purple this time. He says, "What? Where did they coming from? What could they have anything to do with anything?" So he asks, "Excuse me, sir, what are you? And they say, "No, we're carrying your suffering in life. We're carrying your suffering." And they start unloading these very heavy purple boxes, and they start putting them on the merit side of the scales, and slowly the scale starts tipping and starts tipping and starts tipping, and it's getting to the sort of 49, 51 area, and he turns around to Hashem and he says, "Ribbono shel Olam, why couldn't I have more suffering?" And the truth is that that's what the Maharsha was saying is over here, is which egg do we choose? It's much easier to choose the Rosh Hashanah, the Yemei Adin cycle of growth, and not have to rely on the Ben HaMitzorim cycle of growth. It's much easier to choose that modality and not have to rely, God forbid, Lolen, on the other way of changing in this world. I think it gets a little deep, and I'd like to close with a very important idea that relates to this. You see, it's not really 21 days. If you count the 3 weeks, how many days is it? It's 22. Because remember, the 3 weeks started on a Thursday this year and ends on a Thursday this year. And the Yemei Adin also not really only 21 days. Yes, the Yom HaShanah Rabbah is the Yom HaChisum HaGadol. But at the end of the day, we ignored one big day, and that is Shmini Atzeres and Chas Torah, which comes right afterwards. And you say, well, is there any parallel between those two, the 22nd day? And the answer is absolutely. What's the first thing we say when we take out the Torah on Shmini Atzeres and Chas Torah? In Israel, it's on one day, not as it's extended in Golos. What's the first thing we say? Atah HaRei Zolodas. Where does that pasuk come from? Where do we learn it? Tomorrow morning. Tisha B'Av. But it's more than that. I saw Rav Pinchas Friedman writes a very beautiful observation. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, we just read on Parshas Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Eicha yisalev adi torchechev ma'asachev v'ribchem. He says to Bnei Yisrael, how can I do this by myself? All the fights, all the arguments, all the bickering. I can't do this by myself. What do you think Moshe Rabbeinu really meant? What does it mean, Eicha yisalev adi? He's complaining about leadership at this point in time? Why is Moshe levad? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu alone this time? Why suddenly in his life is he alone? The answer is because one very significant person has suddenly disappeared from his life. Who's that person? Aaron, his brother. And Moshe and Aaron had very different models of leadership. Moshe Rabbeinu's model of leadership was called Yikov Adin HaSahar, sort of like as a tank goes, straight. No deliberation, no equivocating. Truth is truth is truth, and you will subscribe to the truth. Aaron had a different perspective. That's why Kol Beis Yisrael, we wept for the death of Aaron. Why? Oyev Shalom V'Oyev Shalom. Sometimes MS is too much. Sometimes it's very hard for people to swallow it. And sometimes when you're in a fight and you're demanding your right all the time, it doesn't always work when it comes to other people. Aaron was that person who was able to resolve what? Precisely what Moshe Rabbeinu was complaining about now. The Torchachem, Ma'asachem V'Ribchem. Moshe Rabbeinu is stranded, living in the world of truth, saying, where's the Aaron who can't resolve And that ultimately, that fraction, that hairline fracture turns into a much larger consequence later on. Fast forward to the end of the second verse of Mikdash. The Romans didn't destroy Jerusalem. The Jews did. The Romans were waiting on the outside while the Jews were killing each other on the inside. If you read Josephus and the War of the Jews, listen to what was happening. The Sicarii, the Biryonim, all the different groups killing each other. The Romans all just needed to wait and sort of sit there waiting for us to kill ourselves. That's what's happening. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. Tisha B'Av is the day where we say, after these days of growth, have we not learned that lesson in the times of Moshe and the times now? And you come to Shmini Atzeres. What's the mitzvah of Shmini Atzeres? Doesn't have a lulav, doesn't have a sukkah, doesn't have a matzah, doesn't even have cheesecake. What's the mitzvah of Shmini Atzeres? So the Gemara says it's a regel b'fnei atzmai, a regel by itself. What does that mean precisely? Rabbi Yisrael Rizhin says, somewhat on a Hasidic level, beautiful, beautiful insight. He says, remember that story about Hillel and the Ger, the one foot, and he's asking to convert him on one foot. What is the answer Hillel says? What's Judaism all about? Sum it up in one moment. What, distill it down to one drop? Judaism's all about? Don't do unto others what is hateful for yourself. Says the Rishna, says Rabbi Yisrael Rizhin, that's the one foot, the regel b'fnei atzma, the one foot, literally translating the word of regel, not as a festival, but as a foot. What is Shmini Atzeres? It's the one foot, it's the idea of coming together, not hating each other. We achieve the same result on Shmini Atzeres and Tisha B'Av, one through suffering and one through togetherness. That's what we're aiming for, the 22nd day. In fact, you know why we stay back on Shmini Atzeres? Hashem says, Kosha alai predaschem. It's so sad for me to see you go away. Says Israel Rizhin, it doesn't mean to say you going away from me. You know what it means? Predaschem means you going away from you. All these families, they've got together, they're staying in the house, everybody's sharing space, we're sharing meals, we're with our neighbors, we're sleeping over, it's been a little tight, but we've had three, can you remember, let's think about the Yom HaNoraim, 4 weeks of Yom HaTovim every single week, we've been together. You know what Kosh Alei Predaschem is? The fact that in joy, you have to separate yourselves from yourselves. That's what's sad. And it's remarkable to me, you look back at this year for a second. April time, there was such discord in Eretz Israel, so much hate, so much dissonance in Israel. And then that it all went away for a little bit. And then what were we thinking about when it came to Israel? And there was a whole ring of attacks. There was an attack on the Ds who were killed during Pesach time. There were rockets which were fought. And we all banded together. And we helped Israel. We prayed for Israel. And we spoke to our politicians. We did everything within our power. And then when that went away, we're fighting again. Why is it that we only remember to come together on the Tisha B'Avs, when we're circling the wagons, when people are hitting us from the outside, but we can't figure out doing it on the Shmini Atzeres? There's two eggs, folks. There's two ways that we can grow. There's two ways we can grow personally and communally. But why do we always wait for suffering? Why do we choose this model? I'd like to close with the words of Rabbi Elimelech of Vizhensk, and I think it's very important and apropos now. Actually, Rav Rimon sent out a message, which I think is very important, that I left a number of copies of the paper that he sent out by the door. On the way out, I'd like to encourage you to take it, to think about this Tisha B'Av doing something special. I'd like to give everybody a charge, this Tisha B'Av. I'd like to give everybody a job, two very small jobs. Rabbi Talibah mentioned to me this morning that, you know, it's very hard on Tisha B'Av because you can't greet people. You're not supposed to greet people. It's very uncomfortable. You sort of shift this way, look down, look to the side. You really want to, and there's some people you haven't seen for a long time. But the fact that we can't say hello on Tisha B'Av, we can't say Shalom Aleichem on Tisha B'Av, is a reminder of what we're supposed to be doing the other 363 or 53 days of the year. We're supposed to be wanting to see people. We're supposed to be wanting to greet other people. That's what Tisha B'Av is reminding us. That's how we're supposed to come together. I'd like to suggest that we think right now in our minds of somebody with whom our relationship has soured, cooled down, has, for whatever reason, politically, an argument, something that's happened in our lives, for whatever reason, close, far. Think of one person in our lives. One person, and it's unfortunately, as you grow older, it's harder, it becomes easier to think, because unfortunately we get into things whether we like it or not. Could be about the 2024 elections, it could be about judicial reform, it could be about a relationship. And I'd like to think, I'm going to read a very beautiful paragraph from Rabbi Meir of Vizhensk called Adraba. And I'd like you to think about that person for a moment. Adraba, And it's on this sheet that I encourage everybody to take as we go. Tein v'libeinu, please place in our hearts, shinira kol echad ma'alas chaveinu. Let us see the goodness, the good parts of our friends, because they always are. V'loi chesronam, and not only their lackings. V'shinab nedaber kol echad es chaveira b'derach ha'yosha v'arotze lefonecha. We should speak about and to our friends in a way that is upright, in a way that is respectful in front of you, Hashem. And let there not be hate within the hearts of one upon another friend. Give us the strength to express love in front of you, Hashem. Because after all, that creates the greatest amount of nachas in front of you, Hashem, is when we can work it out together. When the children learn how to play together, the parents get nachas. When we're able to figure out being together, that's when Hashem finds his nachas. Amen ki ken hi ratzon. That's what said. Some people say this every single morning. I encourage everybody to take a moment to say this and think about the person it applies to, or the people it applies to our lives. I'd like to make a bli neder kabbalah right now before we leave the room. That this Erev Shabbos, because Tisha B'Av is a Thursday, this Erev Shabbos, we call one person. One person we haven't called for a while. One person that the connection has gone cool, for whatever reason, legitimate, illegitimate, whatever it is. We try to take that step forward, because Ahavas Chinam doesn't mean to say the people we agree with. It's the people we disagree with. It's the people we don't share things in common with. I'd like to encourage everybody that we can find our chizuk and our unity, not on Tisha B'Avs in the world, but as we move our way to our Simchas Torahs, as we move away to Shmini Atzeres, let's grow through that way. Let's not have to suffer to band together. Ezra Hashem, it should be Ken Yirotzah, it should really be Emoyed. We now will start with Ava.
I'm going to ask that everybody who comes to this, you know, we do it.